spending a lot of time in Colossians 4, verse 12, and with a good reason. Not only to hopefully be a help to you, but I need this verse. I really want to know what this verse is saying and see it realized in my own life. You can just tell by a surface reading, it holds out something very wonderful, very important, very needful, and something that's worthy of our attention and our greatest efforts to realize in our own individual lives. And it is that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And we said the word stand, of course, means to continue or to be established. And we said it's a reference to perseverance in faith and holiness, which is one of our beliefs as Christians, that God gives us grace to continue in His way throughout our lives. And what we want to remember too is we saw last time some of the things that we are to stand in. Or stand where? Well, we looked at those. And to kind of summarize what we were saying, it's by faith. You know, many times it said, stand in the faith. Well, it's by faith as the gift of God, in other words, true saving faith, that we're both saved and we're kept. We're enabled to stand. Let's look at a couple of places that say that. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. How can I stand? Well, first we have to trust in Jesus Christ, and then we have to live by our faith in Christ. And it's through faith in Christ that we stand, because our standing is in Christ and by Christ. And in Romans chapter 11, in verse 20, here's what Paul says to the Christians of Rome, talking about how the Jews had fallen away from the true faith of Christ and had perished in their unbelief. He says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. In other words, they lost their place as the people of God. And now, you Gentiles, you stand by faith. In other words, you have now been brought in to the people of God and grafted in that common stock that all believers are a part of which Christ is the root. And he says, be not high-minded, but fear. Lord, you stand by faith. They fell by their unbelief. And be sure that you have faith and you continue in that faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Paul is talking about what we enjoy as Christians, what God has done for us in Christ. He says he's established us in Christ. He sealed us by his Spirit in our hearts. And then he says, but there were things in their lives that were not what they should be, and he was going to need to discipline them to get these things corrected, to put away their sins and bring them back into a holy life. And then he explains why he would do this and how he would do this. Verse 24, not that we have dominion over your faith. In other words, it's not like we are lords and masters over you and that we can control your lives and tell you how to live. But we are helpers of your joy. In other words, as you walk in obedience to Christ, as you forsake sin and do what is right in His sight, this brings joy to you as God's people. And I want to see you enjoying that joy in that way. But he says, it's not we who hold you in the hand of God. It says, for by faith ye stand. By faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, your belief in Him, based on God's Word, That's what gives you your standing and enables you to continue to stand. And only God can give that. I want to look at an Old Testament verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse 20. You ever heard of... Yeah, I want 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 20. You've heard of 20/20 vision? How can I have good vision in a spiritual sense? How can I see things as they really are and being able to walk as I should? Which we need good eyes to be able to see our way. Well, here's 20/20 vision from God's perspective. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. It says, they rose early in the morning. This is Jehoshaphat and the army going out against their enemies. And they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. And that's one of the meanings of the word to stand, to be established, to continue. Believe his prophets, or his word as given by the prophets, so shall ye prosper. So believe in the Lord your God to stand, and then live by faith in his word, and he will bless you and prosper you in the concerns of your soul. Now, let's see how that exactly plays out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul was concerned that the Thessalonians be established as well. They had come to faith in the Lord. He wanted that faith to be strengthened and secured so that it would continue and it would hold up against all their adversities. And so he tells them in verse 2, we sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to do what? To establish you. And to comfort you. How? Concerning your faith. We want you established and comforted in your faith. Why? What was the danger? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. See, our faith is our rooting down into Christ, of becoming established and strengthened and settled upon him. Afflictions try to break us loose, like pull us up by the roots and take us away from Christ. And of course, if a plant is unrooted, it can't hold itself up and it cannot live. Its roots have to be deep and firm in good soil. And that soil is Christ. And you know, our faith is being rooted and grounded in him. And so he's saying, don't be moved by these afflictions. As a matter of fact, you need to be like a tree. When a tree is buffeted by the winds and storms, it sends its roots down deeper to get a stronger, firmer footing so that it can hold up against the things that come against it. That's how we should be when we are afflicted. We yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. God gives us these things for a purpose. It's our appointment. Next time you have a problem, oh, keep my appointment. God's appointment for me. And instead of falling apart and getting discouraged and giving up, we need to say, all right, Lord, help me to send my roots down deeper in your Son so I can hold up against this trial I'm now enduring. And so here's what he says. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. What was his whole concern? How's your faith? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you believing his word? Are you continuing to, just believe in him, even in the midst of all these adversities? Why? What was the danger? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. In other words, whenever trial comes into our lives, the devil always comes along with it to use that against us. Oh, look at what's happening to you. How can you really be a Christian? How can God really love you? It's not worth following the Lord if it's going to cause you these kind of difficulties and problems. So he's always right there to try to use our afflictions to make us give up our faith, to doubt, to question, to waver, and ultimately either to fall or to fall away. That's what he's striving to do. That's why test and tempt are the same word. Lest by any means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Well, how can I stand against these temptations, these devices, these schemes and plots of the devil that he uses whenever I come into hard times? Because, you know, when you come into trial, that's when you really have your faith tested. And you do start wondering. And you're more susceptible to his whisperings. And sometimes they're very convincing, very influential, to where you say, yeah, I think that's right. You know, and that's where you start wavering and going down. What did it say in Ephesians 6? When the devil tempts us, especially during times of trouble, evil days, here's how we overcome. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, once you've gotten through it all, still be found standing. Never knocked off from your foundation and moved away. How can we do this? Let's look at verse 16. Above all, as he gives this a priority, above all the other pieces of the armor of God, above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. Why? Because with it you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, the devil has these fiery arrows, poisoned arrows, arrows set aflame that he shoots, especially in the evil day, to keep us from being able to stand. And what is it that enables us to ward off these darts? The shield. In other words, if those darts reach our heart or our mind, they're going to penetrate and start influencing. We're going to start thinking these things. If we receive them and give in to the devil's false reasonings. And so the shield is held out so that the arrows strike the shield and they never reach us, and they become harmless because they can't actually hit us where they can hurt us. And that's the shield of faith. And it is able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan, all of them. So no matter what he throws at us, they never do us harm, and we're able to stand by faith. By believing God's word instead of listening to the devil's lies. That's how Adam and Eve fell. The devil lied to them, and instead of saying, no, God says this, I won't listen to you, I will not eat of that fruit, of that tree, they said, oh yeah, maybe the devil's right. Maybe God's been giving us a line and we need to eat it and we'll be better off. And that's where all the trouble came in. All the trouble came in when they sinned. And that's what the devil knows too. If we can lose our faith and yield to his suggestions and allow sin in our lives, he's got us. And we'll go down. So, what do we need to do? We need to examine ourselves, first of all, to be sure that we are truly saved by faith in Christ. Am I a believer in Christ? If I don't have faith, I can't stand. I'm helpless. I'm totally vulnerable to the devil's attacks. As a matter of fact, The Bible says he takes me captive by his will. I cannot fight him in my own wisdom or strength. And so, am I a believer? Now, that's what 2 Corinthians 13:5 says. It says there, examine yourselves. About what? Whether ye be in the faith. Are you in the faith? Are you a Christian? Have you truly come to know the Lord? Are you trusting in Him with all your heart? And then he says, prove your own selves. Put yourself to the test. Examine yourself, test yourself. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So he tells these professing Christians, be sure you believe, and that Christ dwells in your heart by faith, because if you don't, you're a false believer. You're a reprobate, one who is still in his sins and lost. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Have I believed in Christ? If I have, He now dwells in my heart by faith, and I am His. And He is mine. I'm a Christian. I'm in the faith. And I can stand by that faith in Christ. And if I am truly saved by faith in Christ, then I need to be sure that I pray for grace to live by faith in Christ until we go to glory. In other words, it's not enough just to come to Christ, we have to walk in Him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk in Him. Walk by faith in Christ. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Don't go by what things appear to be. Don't go by what you see. Go by what God says, because that's the truth. That's how it really is. And then live accordingly. And you will be kept from falling. You'll be enabled to stand. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:7-9. Here's our encouragement. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 through 9. Talks about the testimony of Christ being confirmed in them, or as they were showing that they really were Christ, and the things that He said He would do in His people, what He was doing in them, so that His testimony was confirmed, the truth of the gospel was being realized in their experience. Verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what He says Jesus would do for them. Who shall also confirm you. Are you talking about being confirmed? Here's how we're confirmed. Not by some bishop slapping you on the side of the head. All that does is give you a red cheek. What this is what Jesus does. And that's to confirm us. We come to faith. We're confirmed in our faith. How long? Unto the end. In other words, He maintains us in a state of grace and salvation by continuing to give us faith to live for Him and to trust in Him. What did it say in Hebrews? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He begins it, He carries it on, and he completes it at the end. Author and finisher of our faith. He will confirm you unto the end. What did He tell Peter He was doing when Satan was attacking Peter? I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. I'm praying for you. He will confirm that faith to the end. And it's by faith we stand, so what does that mean? We will stand to the end. Now, we may have individual moments of weakness when we fall, but what's the Bible say? A righteous man falls 7 times, but he will rise up again. We won't fall away finally and completely and forever. That's the promise. Notice, He will confirm you that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or that you may be found what you claim to be, a true believer, a true Christian, one who sincerely is following the Lord and seeking to do His will. When's the coming of our Lord? The end. That's the end of this world. The end of this age. When Jesus comes again, time will be no more, and eternity will dawn, and His eternal kingdom will be brought in, and this world system as we know it will end. So, to the end of our lives, to the end of the world, we will be confirmed. How? By Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Keeper. God is faithful. God says He will do this for you. Can we trust Him to do it? Will He fail us? Will He deceive us? Will He lie to us? Will He disappoint our faith? No, he that believes in Him will never be ashamed. God is faithful. He says He will do this. He will. Faithful is He who called you, who also will do it, Paul said. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we're called to a joint participation, to a sharing together, a having in common what Christ has. And of course, He has all the grace we need to be saved in the end, to reach our goal of eternal life with Him in heaven. And He will do that. We're not going to lose and leave His fellowship because God is faithful. See where the confidence lies? Not in myself or what I can do. I'm determined. I'm a strong person. We should have determination and, you know, have the intention of following Christ to the end, but it doesn't rest in that. If that's not where our confidence lies, it's in God's faithfulness and Christ's all-sufficiency and power. He will do it. And so we will make it. See, we do not have the wisdom or the strength either to save ourselves or to keep ourselves. So where do we look for these things? We have to rely not on ourselves, but on the power of God. Remember what Paul said? Not as if we were sufficient of ourselves to, you know, trust anything in ourselves, to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. His grace is sufficient. He's able to make all grace abound for you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. God is able. God is enough. God's power is infinite, and that's what has been engaged for us. Why should we be discouraged? Why should we think we can't do it? We can ourselves, but we can with Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. We're saved in hope. We have the hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A hope of what? A hope of heaven. An absolutely beautiful, perfect place of total joy and bliss forever and ever. Heaven. Where we will ever be with the Lord. He describes it this way in verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Alright, I have a reservation in heaven. Will I ever make it to my reservation? Yes. You know, they say heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. How do I know that this wonderful inheritance that God has reserved for me in heaven will one day be mine? Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. We are kept, preserved, guarded by God's power. What power is that? Omnipotence, infinite, almighty power. More than adequate to keep us. Kept by the power of God through faith. There's that faith again. But how do we know our faith won't give out? How do we know we won't lose our faith? What did Ephesians say? God's power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. It's that same power that enables me to believe that keeps me in faith. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, unto the ultimate deliverance from sin and all its consequences, death and misery and hell, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's already. One day we're going to get there and it's going to be seen that we were God's and that He had given us faith and that He had kept us by His power and that we are with Him in that way. And He'll get all the glory for it. Kept by the power of God through faith. And so God's power enables us to stand by giving us the faith to trust in Him, and it's by faith we stand. See, God is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You know what that is? He preserves us. Preserves us. Whole and entire. Not one atom of His people is going to be lost. And Jesus said, I've given them eternal life, and nothing is lost. Nothing. Look at with me, we'll close with Jude. The book of Jude, which is the second last book of the New Testament before Revelation. Jude. I want to look at verse 1. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified, set apart, cleansed and made holy by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. God puts us in Christ when we believe. And then He says He seals us. That means He places us there and puts a protection over us that we cannot be removed again. And so we're preserved in Christ. And called. In other words, the gospel reaches us and we respond in faith as God draws us to Himself. God's divine summons putting forth the power to convert us and bring us to Christ. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And then He talks about being preserved more in verse 24 and 25. Now, this is a doxology and ascribing of glory to God. Unto Him that is able. Who's able? Am I able? No. Is God able? Yes. More than able. See the difference? You trust in yourself, you have no assurance because you know you can't do it. You trust in God, you have strong assurance, perfect assurance, because you know He can and will do it. He can because He's God, He will because He says so. And He cannot break His own word. He can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He's faithful. He says He's able to keep you from what? Falling. That's how we stand. God can keep you from falling. You know, Peter went on to say, you know, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you rejoice. You rejoice in this fact, this truth. Even though, in the meanwhile, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, you're getting all these trials and tribulations and temptations of the devil coming upon you. You're rejoicing in knowing that God has a place reserved for you in heaven, and that as a believer in Christ, that is your place. And you know that He's able to, you know, you're kept by His power, and yet all these tribulations and trials come against you to try to shake your faith in that. But He's able to keep you from falling so that these trials do not overcome. And then He says, and to present you faultless in an absolutely perfected state before the presence of His glory at the very throne of God with exceeding joy. You know, I look at that with exceeding joy, and sometimes I think, you know, we're going to be so happy when we get to heaven. It's going to be a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Certainly we have that kind of joy now, as Peter says, but how much greater in heaven when it's a perfect, unmixed, and complete joy with nothing to detract from it. But I'm wondering, is this our joy, or is it an exceeding joy to God to bring us to heaven and have His children with Him? In a perfected state. Maybe both. Well, this we know. It's He that's able to do it, and He who will do it. So to the only wise God, He knows how to do it. Our Savior, notice, He's the Savior, not the Helper. You know, we do part, He does part. He's the Savior. He does it all. To Him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And for a sinner like me to be saved, and to get through this life without turning away from the Lord, and to be brought to heaven and made perfectly glorified with Him, body and soul, for eternity, that's going to bring Him great glory. Great glory. And that should be our great delight, to know that God is going to do this, and He will get all the glory for it. And, of course, to Him alone it belongs. That's what soli Deo Gloria means. To God alone be all glory. We'll close in prayer.